Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Hey, it's Kenkel Fritz. Welcome to the podcast. And if you missed today's show, well, here's what happened.
Talking about getting older and birthdays, when do you quit celebrating those? And 31 years old is when we, apparently, according to this research, stop having those birthdays. How about you? 888-888-9976. Good morning.
Hey, you didn't mention 70. I just turned 70 in May, and my kids flew me from New Mexico to Arizona, where they live, for a barbecue.
Fun!
Well, congratulations, by the way.
Yes.
Thank you. And I still work full-time at a high school.
Oh, way to go.
Love it.
That's awesome.
You know, more and more people are doing that, working longer and enjoying, being involved. And
well, as long as you enjoy it.
I do. I love those kids.
Aw, I bet they love you too.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh.
Thank you.
So, for a barbecue.
Yeah.
Was this, did someone like barbecue or they went to a barbecue restaurant?
Nope, my son barbecued in his new house.
Ooh.
Oh, I love that.
That sounds good.
Me too.
Okay, so now Kank wants to know what was on the grill.
Yeah.
Hamburgers, hot dogs, and then everybody brought a potluck dish.
Ah.
There you go.
So now I know what barbecue we're talking about. This is a West Coast barbecue.
Yeah, more or less, yes.
See, that's a terminology thing. See, when I hear the word barbecue, I think of smoker.
Oh, okay.
Ah,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Briskets, ribs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. Thanks. Happy birthday, 70
yes.
years old.
Yes. Woo.
Thank you. Okay. God bless. Have a great day.
God bless you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Talking about celebrating birthdays, because the average age we quit doing that, 31, which I guess is sad. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Keep going. 888-888-9976. Good morning.
Well, I just have to tell you that I have a friend who is going to turn 101 on November 7th. He lives in Denver. I live in Kansas City. And I'm going out to celebrate his birthday.
Wow.
How did you manage to have a friend that's a centurion? How did you meet this guy?
I worked at the same hospital. He worked on the floor below me. I'm a registered nurse, and he was a medic. And I needed a ride home one night, and a friend of mine said, I think that Mr. Mitchell can help you. And he took me home for 3 years until I moved back to Pittsburgh. And so we've stayed friends all this time.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's and I'm neat. Really good friends with his daughter now. So I just made reservations to go out and spend some birthday time with him. So just had to let you know, I don't think you ever should stop celebrating your birthday.
Well, from experience, maybe we should take a cue from you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think so.
Take it from Mitch. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Say a prayer for him.
101 years old. That's awesome.
He's going to be 101 years old. They featured him on Denver TV whenever he turned 100. He's a veteran as well.
Wow.
So anyway, just keep celebrating, everybody.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know, I don't know, that number just jogged something in my head. Maybe you should buy him the same number of a certain dog.
I'm sorry, a certain what?
Dalmatians.
Oh, that went right over my head.
We were all going, wait for it. There's something there.
It was really funny. I was looking right at Misty and her head kind of cocked like a Cocker Spaniel. Talking about birthdays today because we stopped celebrating them at 31 according to this research. Maybe we shouldn't. According to all these phone calls we're getting.
Yeah.
Marcus is with us from Georgia. What do you have to say about this?
My mama had a little ditty that she used to say, it's the 40s are the old age of youth, and the 50s are the youth of old age.
Yes, so that she, I like that.
But she lived to be 100, so.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Wow.
She would know.
Yep.
Yeah. There's some wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I do, too. I like
some experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Keep it on. Bad news, I got that good news.
So what is God doing that's good in your life? Why not tell us about it? Our number is 888-888-9976. Laura's with us. Tell us your story.
Okay, so my son has been down in prison for almost 5 years. He's getting out on December 22nd. Sometimes people will try to, when they know they're going up for parole and they've had no issues and they've been model inmates,
right,
they start to pursue them to mess up their parole.
Really? So other inmates in the prison will kind of jack with you, try to get you to do stuff that's wrong. Didn't know this was happening.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Wow, that's not good.
It does happen. And that happened to him back in July, and it was going all the way through August, and I just started praying on it. I was like, God, please, if you could take these people out of his way so that he can finish his time and get out.
Okay.
And I will be doggone if the police are praying, it happened.
Oh?
Every one of them was moved.
It just stopped. They quit doing that to him.
It sounds like they were moved.
Oh, they were removed.
Yeah, they all got moved to a different place, but they were just shifting people from different places, and that group of people got moved.
Wow.
And then I remembered what I heard. If you can put your faith in the chair that you trust to hold your body when you sit down in it, why would you not put that much faith in Jesus? And mm-hmm. I was like, so now when I'm looking for that extra faith, what I just say, I'm going to sit in my Jesus chair and let this go.
Ooh, I like that.
I do too.
That's brilliant. Uh-huh. That's good. I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I like that. I'm going to sit in the Jesus chair. Family Life Radio, it's Kankel, Fritz, and friends. If you happen to have children, I sure hope they're doing well in school. We have a daughter diagnosed with special needs. She goes to special education. So our 13-year-old son, everything's new for us with him. It's kind of like we have an only child in a kind of like, in a way. And so he's a pretty smart kid, but some things are kind of, his grades have been slipping a little bit lately. But in one class, he's like, he has a test and it showed that he's pretty smart in math, but he's been taking actually 7th and 8th grade math in the same class because this test showed that he could possibly do that.
Okay.
But his grades are just, he's getting a B. It's not bad, right?
Yeah, right.
His quizzes have been not going real well, and we asked him a few questions, what's going on and this and that, and this is the conclusion that we realized, and that is that he hasn't been studying for his quizzes.
Uh-oh.
And after a few more in-depth conversation, we found out this. He doesn't know how to study.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And we're like asking a few more questions, and we're like, wait, what do you mean you don't know how? I don't know how to study. And then after a few more questions, realized he's never studied. Ever.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. He's brilliant. Then.
Yeah, I was about to say, that shows how smart he is, and he's been doing so well up until now.
He's had A's and B's without studying a lick.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
Untapped knowledge there.
I had to study hard to barely get B's and C's. And this kid is killing it.
But thinking about it, I can't think that I was ever taught how to study. Like, it's not a subject. I don't remember being instructed that way.
You know, I don't know if I was either, but once I finally did learn how, it's kind of like you have to kind of memorize the answers. You have to kind of like go over something over and over and over again until you know it, you know, and kind of quiz yourself.
Yeah, we know
that now. Right.
But I don't think we were taught that as kids.
I wasn't.
We just had to figure it out.
Well, that's a good point, Sally. Mm-hmm. Is there a learn how to study class?
Yeah.
There should.
Because I did really well up until college when you do have to study in college. And I found out very quickly I didn't know how to do it well so that I could memorize stuff and retain it. So I.
Good point.
I'm kind of like Sam. I understand where he's coming from.
Right. Well, this is where we enrolled my wife because she is brilliant at studying.
Ooh.
Here's how. My wife, if anything has notes to it or melody, if she puts anything to a song, she never forgets it.
Huh.
Like when she was pledging to be in a sorority, she put the Greek alphabet to the tune of Green Acres, and she remembered.
Music does help. That's how I noticed. We did a song in sixth grade where we sang all 50 states in alphabetical order. I've never forgotten that. And then in fifth grade, my teacher had a little record about the 12 times tables. 1 through 12, and I've never forgotten that particular
there
times
you
table.
Go.
Yep, it works.
All right, so alpha, beta, sigma, epsilon.
You've heard that saying that time heals all wounds, and that just may not be the case. I think most often that's not the case at all. And if you're dealing with something, that you are trying to find emotional healing in and having difficulty, welcome to the club. I think that's something a lot of us struggle with. I know I do. I ran across this and I thought it was so encouraging. It said our emotional healing is a lot like a flesh wound, which I've never thought of it that way before. You know, if you had a huge gash on your arm and you didn't treat it when you were supposed to, like when it happened, it gets infected. And then that infection spreads and it causes more harm to the rest of your body. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same with emotional healing. You just let it sit, it doesn't go away. Basically, you're leaving yourself open for infections to come in, and they may look like bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness. Just causes you more pain. So you have to address the wound. And it's not always going to be pleasant. I don't know of a time when it is pleasant. Like, it hurts. Mm. It hurts to clean that stuff out. And you are going to be sensitive as you're healing. But the beautiful thing is, as God helps you heal from that, one day you're going to be able to see the scar and you're not going to feel the pain. And healing doesn't mean that that pain never existed. Of course it did. It just means it no longer negatively affects your life.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Yeah, you're right. So in other words, the quicker you address it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't address it, it could get worse.
And it does, because I've done that too.
Yeah.
I've sat on things for a long time and it festers. It does.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good
Sometimes
point.
Sometimes it's really hard to make that choice to look at it, address it. Sometimes it involves, you know, going back to a person who hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you said there, though, that you could see the scar, but scars don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Once the wound is healed, the scar is just a remembrance of something that you tackled, you touched, you addressed it, and you've been able to move on and maybe even use that to build into somebody else's life who is hurting.
I like that, Sally. And don't just address it, put a good dressing on it.
There you go.
Yeah. Hope that helped you today. You want to talk? Give us a call. 888-9976.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to learn more about The Morning Show or to get in touch with us, head over to myflr.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.